Nice to stand one more time with God's word here, and I appreciate all of your presence and your interest to study God's word. I'm sure most of us have gone for a long vacation, either through air or through on road, and there's a lot of preparation while we are on such a journey. We had to undergo such a journey when we decided to relocate to Canada. So the first thing that came into our mind was, what should we bring to Canada? So we called a few of our friends and we got a lot of advices. And one advice was, you should not bring one particular thing to Canada. Can you guess what was it? Okay, I'll tell. All of them advised, don't bring any electronic goods to Canada. Why? Because in Canada, we use in 110 volt, but outside Canada, in places that we lived, it was 220 volt. So none of the electronic equipments will work. So we had to dispose of all those electronic stuff before we landed to Canada. So this was the incident that came into my mind when I read this portion from Ezra chapter 7, verse 9 and 10. And the title of this message that I have put is Prepared Hearts. Let me turn your attention to Ezra chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. It reads, for unto the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgment. Let me give a historical context of this book. The authorship of this book is not mentioned, but Bible scholars, they say that there is a lot of proof that Ezra is the one who wrote this book. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther are in the last three books in the historical section of the Old Testament. The historical section of the Old Testament starts from Joshua and ends in Esther. And these three books give us the detail of how the Jewish people, after 70 years of Babylonian captivity, they returned back to Jerusalem, their promised land, in three different times. First was led by Zerubbabel in 538 BC. Second was followed by Ezra, who returned along with few people in 458 BC. Finally, Nehemiah, after 13 years, in 445 BC, they returned back to Jerusalem after spending exile in Babylon. If you want to know how does a Jew felt when he was in exile, you should read Psalms 137. Psalms 137 gives us an insight what is a feeling of a Jewish person who was in captivity in Babylon. Let me read it for you. Psalms 137 verses 1 to 6. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. Upon the willows, in the midst of it, we hung our harps, for there our captors demanded us songs, and our tormentors mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget her skill. May my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy. So we read here Psalms 137, the feeling of a Jewish person who is in exile, under captivity in Babylon. He says, let my right hand forget her skills if I forget Jerusalem. And this book describes a journey of a Jewish person and a group of people who returned back to Jerusalem. Bible scholars believe that this book can be divided into two parts. Verses 1 and chapter 1 to 6 comprise of book number 1, and chapter 7 to 10 is book number 2. And between these books is there a gap of 58 years wherein the book of Esther was written. And these three books, Nehemiah, Esther, and Ezra, describes four different stories of the, how the Lord led them out of captivity to the chosen land, land of Jerusalem. In chapter number 7, we are introduced to Ezra. In verses 1 onwards, we can understand that Ezra is coming from a line of prophets. His forefather was Aaron, the chief priest. Verse 1 says, chapter number 7, verse 1, "Now after these things, in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, the son of Seraiah, the son of Azariah, and son of Hilkiah." And we're coming down to verse number 5, the second part says, "the son of Aaron, the chief priest." So we see here, Ezra is coming from a line of priests. And verse 6, we see a specialty of Ezra. Verse 6 says, "This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him." So we see here, Ezra had a specialty. He was a ready scribe. That means a person who is well read in scriptures, and he was ready to expound from the scriptures anytime. And here we see he is knowledgeable in the word of God, a scribe skilled in the law of Moses. In chapter number 7, we can understand that he came with a decree from the king Artaxerxes to come to Jerusalem for a purpose. We see in chapter number 7, verses 11, we see, "Now this is the copy of the letter that King Artaxerxes gave unto Ezra the priest, the scribe, even a scribe of the words of the commandment of the Lord and of his statutes to Israel." Verse 13 says, "I make a decree that all they of the people of Israel and of his priests and the Levites in my realm, which are minded of their own freedom, will to go up to Jerusalem, go with thee." So we see here, Ezra was given a special privilege by the king to return to Jerusalem along with few people. And he is not coming to Jerusalem empty-handed. He is given silver and gold as treasures so that the worship can be started in Jerusalem. Verse number 15, we see, he says, "And to carry silver and gold which the king and his counselors have freely offered unto God of Israel, whose habitation is in Jerusalem." Verse 16 says, "And all the silver and gold that thou canst find in all the province of Babylon, with the freewill offering of the people and of the priest, offering willingly for the house of their God, which is in Jerusalem." Whatever was needed to reestablish the worship was given to Ezra. And Ezra was coming to Jerusalem with a purpose. So I was wondering, what was the motive behind the king Artaxerxes? And even in chapter number 6, we see King Cyrus also has given the same decree that he should go along with the people of Israel to Jerusalem to start the worship. What was the motive behind it? Let me turn your attention to verse 23 from the same chapter. Chapter number 7, verses 23. Says, "Whatsoever is commanded by God of heaven, let it be diligently done for the house of the God of heaven. For why should there be wrath against the realm of the king and his son?" So we see here, King Artaxerxes was doing it because he was wanting the God of Israel to be on his side. Whatever damage the king of Nebuchadnezzar had done in the land of Israel, he had destroyed the temple, he wanted to rectify it. And he wanted the God of Israel also to be on his side. But he did not know one fact, that all this thing was prophesied a long, long time ago. In Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 10 is recorded that Jeremiah the prophet recorded that the people of Israel, after spending 70 years of captivity under Babylon, they will return back to Jerusalem. But here we see the Lord God in heaven, he used Artaxerxes to issue a decree that he should allow the people of Israel to go back to the land of Israel. Let me remind you what was written in Proverbs 21 verse 1. Says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and as the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will." Let us be comforted There may be kings and governments in this world, but they are all in the hand of our Lord. And it is the Lord who reigns and rules supreme above all that we see. Here we see Artaxerxes had recognized Ezra as a special person. He had a lot of capabilities that he could use so that the people of Israel can go back to land of Jerusalem. In verse 28, we see Ezra had a will to lead. In chapter number 7, verse 28 says, and hath extended mercy unto me before the king and his counselors, and before all the king's mighty princes. And I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me, and I gathered together out of Israel chief men to go up with me. Probably the king might have recognized Ezra is a nice, he has a good personality, he has a personality to lead. So he appointed Ezra that he should go to Jerusalem. Then the second quality that Ezra had, he had a heart of holiness. In chapter number 9 and 10, we see that Ezra had to deal with a peculiar problem among the Jewish people. They had a major sin in their life. What was it? That they had intermarried with people who were pagan in their life. They were worshipping idols, and they had intermarried those people. And here we see the same kind of problem Nehemiah also had. He also faced the same issue of people intermarrying people with pagan religion. And we see, what did Nehemiah do? Let me turn your attention to Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 25. Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 25. In fact, verse 23 onwards we can see. In those days also saw I Jews that had married wives of Ashdod and of Amnon and of Moab. These are all Gentile people. They were pagans. And we see, and the children spake half the speech of Ashdod and could not speak in the Jewish language and according to the language of each people. And I contended with them and cursed them and smote certain of them and plucked off their hair. We see a very interesting leadership in Nehemiah. He beat those people and plucked off their hair. But when we come to Ezra, he had entirely a different approach when he saw a sin among the people. Let us turn to Ezra chapter 9, verse 3. Ezra chapter 9, verse 3. Chapter 1, verse 1 onwards, we see that they had married the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Moabites, and the Amorites. And verse 3, we see, and when I heard these things, I rent my garments, my mantle, and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard, and sat down astonished. We see here a very entirely different approach from Ezra. And let me turn, continuing to verse number 6, and says, and I said unto my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God, for my iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespasses is grown up unto the heavens. Verse 15, we see, O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous, for we remain yet escaped, as it is this day. Behold, we are before thee in our trespasses, and we cannot stand before thee because of this. We see here, Ezra had an entirely different approach from Nehemiah. Here, when he saw a sin among the people of Israel, he is first humbling himself before the Lord, and he is counting it as his own sin, and is crying, and he is praying to the Lord. And what happens in chapter number 10, verse 1 says, now when Ezra had prayed and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children, for the people wept very sore. We see, because what Ezra had done very differently from Nehemiah, there was a great change among the people of Israel, and they wept of their sins, and they gathered together as congregation, as children, as families, in front of Ezra, and they cried and wept because of their sins. So we see a very different approach in Ezra, and Ezra had a mind for biblical truth. We see that in Nehemiah chapter 8. When the people of Israel had gathered before Ezra, we see in Ezra, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1 onward, we see, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before Watergate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And verse 1 onward, we see there was a great revival among the people of Israel. And Ezra was the one who started off. How did he do? By reading the book of the law of Moses. There was a great revival. And we see in verse 8, we see, so they read in the book, in the law of Moses, distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. He not only read, but he made the people understand what is written in the Word of God. So we see Ezra had a mind for biblical truth. So these are the secrets of Ezra's spiritual leadership. When we come back to Ezra chapter 7 and chapter 8, we see why is it that Ezra was so special in his what was special in his leadership qualities. We see in chapter 7 and 8 a phrase being repeated almost six times in these two verses, that is the hand of the Lord. The hand of the Lord is the phrase is repeated in chapter number 7 and 8. We see in chapter number 7 verse 6, the hand of the Lord his God was upon him. Why did Ezra find favor in the eyes of the king? Because the hand of the Lord was with him. How was he able to make journey back to Jerusalem? We see in verse 9, because the good hand of the Lord was upon him. Where did he find the strength to lead the people of Israel? We see in verse 28, Ezra spoke of God's steadfast love, and he says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. There was a time in his life when he was going back to Jerusalem, there was no people, no sons of Levi with him. So we see in chapter number 8, verse 18, what brought the sons of Levi to the house of God. It says, the good hand of our God was upon him. They brought us a man of insight of the son of Mahali, the son of Levi, the son of Israel, namely Sherebiah and his sons and brothers, 18 men. We see here, when he prayed, the good hand of the Lord was with him, and there were few people from the priestly tribe of Levi who accompanied him so that the worship in the Jerusalem may be started. And in verse 31 of chapter 8, we see, when the hand of the God was upon him, they were delivered from the hands of the enemy. And again, in verse 22 and 23, we see, who answered his prayer on his way from Babylon to Jerusalem. We see here, the hand of our God is upon him for all the good that seek him. So we fasted and earnestly prayed that our God would take care of us, and he heard our prayer. So we see in the life of Ezra, the good hand of the Lord was always with him. And we see six different reasons that Ezra is giving why the Lord was with him when he was going, and how the Lord, good hand of the Lord was with him. In one sense, the grace of the Lord was with Ezra. And Bible is very careful in pointing out how the grace of the Lord was with him. It was only the grace of a hand of God that enables a man or a woman to execute the purpose the Lord has entrusted to him. Ezra had a very peculiar purpose the Lord had entrusted to him. It may not be our purpose, but the Lord has given to each one of us a purpose that we have to execute when we are on this earth. And let us pray the hand of the Lord may be with us, that we may be we may have sufficient grace to execute the purpose that the Lord has given to us. And we see in life of Ezra, the good hand of the Lord was with him, so that he was a chosen vessel to do the purpose that the Lord has given to him, to lead the people of Israel to the land of Israel. We see in chapter number 7, verse 10, why the good hand of the Lord was with him. We see here, chapter number 7, verse 9, according to the good hand of his God was upon him, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. Why the good hand of the Lord was with him? For He had prepared his heart. So we see the good hand of the Lord was with Ezra because there was a preparation that was done. He had prepared to do some things for the Lord. When I referred to the Hebrew word for prepare, it says the Hebrew word for prepare is known as kun, which means stand erect or stand perpendicular. It takes a special effort to stand erect. And according to Bible, in Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9, our heart is not naturally inclined to stand erect for the Lord's purpose. It says, heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and is not inclined to stand up for the word of God. Ezra was able to stand up for the Lord, even when he was with a pagan king, even when he was in a foreign land under bondage, even when there was backsliding people among his own. He prepared his heart, and he was clinging on to the promises that is recorded in the word of God. And he is testifying in chapter 7 verse 28 that I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord was upon me. But on the other hand, we see many examples in Bible, like King Rehoboam, the son of King Solomon. We see in 2 Chronicles chapter 12 verse 14, a statement recorded in the Bible. We see Rehoboam did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Ezra prepared his heart to seek the Lord, but we see another king, King Rehoboam, the son of King Solomon. He did not prepare his heart, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And we know what happened to Rehoboam. Because of his sin, the king and the kingdom of Israel was divided into two after his time. Thus, we need to prepare our hearts so that the Lord can use us for his purpose when we are on this earth. But how do we prepare our hearts? Let me turn your attention to Psalms 10 verse 17. Psalms 10 verse 17. It says how we will prepare our hearts. Psalms 10 verse 17 says, the Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou will prepare their heart. Thou will cause thine ear to hear. So we see our hearts need to be prepared. But we see in this verse, it is the Lord who prepares our heart. It is the Lord who is doing all the work. What we have to do is to humbly come before the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 16 verse 1 says, the preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So all the preparation is done by the Lord. What we have to do is humbly come before the Lord and ask him to do and prepare our hearts. If anybody is there who is hearing this sermon, let me remind you, my dear brothers, we, on our own efforts, cannot do this preparation. The Lord has recorded in the scriptures, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it is only through our Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on that cross that our sins can be cleansed, and he can prepare you and me for his plan and purpose on this earth. Romans 10 verse 19 and 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So only the Lord can prepare our hearts for his purpose on this earth. So we see, coming back to Ezra chapter 7 verse 10, we see, good hand of the Lord was upon him, for Ezra had prepared his heart. What did he prepare? And he to seek the law of the Lord. So once you are saved, the second thing that the Lord desires is that you should grow in spirit by studying the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2 says, like newborn babes crave pure spiritual milk, so that you may grow in your salvation. The Lord asks us that once you are saved, the second step is that you should grow in grace. How do you grow in grace? Like children craving for spiritual milk, that is the Word of God. As a parent, I always realized our children will be crying probably in the dead of the night. They are not bothered whether you are asleep or tired. But if they need milk, they'll be crying out so loud, you'll wake up and do whatever to pacify that their hunger. So similarly, here the Bible is saying, crave for the spiritual milk. That is the Word of God. That is the desire that the Lord has entrusted to us. Once you are a child of God, second step is that you should crave to read, to study the Word of God, so that you can be used for the kingdom of God. We need to know what God has entrusted to us. We can know only when we study the Word of God. We see, come back to Ezra chapter 7, verse 10 says, For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. So we see here, not only did Ezra was reading the Word of God, but the second thing was he was doing what he had read from the Word of God. So he wanted to live what he had learned from the Word of God. That is what the God's desire is for us also. Let us turn to James chapter 1, verse 22 and 25. James chapter 1, for New Testament believers, let us see what the Lord asked us. James chapter 1, verse 22-25 says, But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any be hearer of the word, and not doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So if you want to have the good hand of the Lord in your life, if you want to enjoy the blessing of the Lord, it says, do what you have learned from the Word of God. First you have to study the Word of God, then you have to do what the Lord has commanded in His Word. So we see Ezra's approach. He was reading God's Word. He set his heart to obey, to do what the law was teaching. So let us strive to be doers of the Word of God. Second, finally, we see here in Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgment. Ezra did not keep what he learnt with himself, but he wanted to share the spiritual good, spiritual fruit that he learned from the Word of God with others. That is what is Lord's desire from each one of us, that we should not only learn and study, but to teach others, to our children, to our friends and neighbors, and even in the assembly. We see, I am reminded of a marketing slogan of a shoe company. It says, just do it, just do it. But here we see Ezra, his slogan was not like that, just do it. His slogan was, don't just do it, study it, do it and teach it. That's what the Lord's desire for us also. Is it not what the Lord commanded us in the Great Commission that he had said in Matthew chapter 28 verse 11 to 20. Matthew chapter 28 verse 18 to 20 says, And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of this world. So my dear believers, let me remind you, the Lord has entrusted us with a great commission that we should go out and teach all nations what the Lord has intended through the Word of God that He has given to us. Let these words encourage us, and let us strive forward to do what we learn from the Scriptures and to teach others from the Word of God. May His name be glorified.